3:13, the anointing breaks the yoke. Stop being drunk off of life's problems. You're going to always have problems, okay? We don't live in a perfect world. Stop being drunk on for them. Every time that you start thinking about your poor, pitiful life and you start drinking that cup of despair and woe is me, you're going to miss the cup of blessing. You're going to miss the cup of victory. You're going to miss the opportunity. You'll miss the favor of God on your life. And see, the promises of God are yes and they are amen. And what does that really mean? That means that they're for you. See, I agree with Jelly Roll. Now I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if every single place, I'm about to buy new seats for the church, and here's what I know, Jeff, that's a step of faith. But look here, my whole life has been about a step of faith. And sometimes you just got to get up out of that boat and just say, God, it's going to be what it's going to be, but I trust you. And God, you've never steered me wrong. But I'm going to tell you something. What I don't want to produce out of this church is fake religious believers. Because, see, that's nonsense. God did not send his son to give you a religion and to give you a denomination. Now, this is an interdenominational church. And I am not, or nor will I ever be, against denomination. I am not. I am for it. But more than I am for a denomination, I am for Jesus Christ, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because he is the same, you can rely on him. Amen. You can't rely on anything else entirely except for Jesus Christ, but you can rely on him. I'm going to ask you to go past religion, and I'm going to ask you to actually have a relationship with your Maker, because see, that and that alone, that is what gets you into heaven. That's it. People ask me all the time, where's the membership paperwork? Look here, baby, it's on your seat. You get your butt here. Stop giving God all the excuses.
Amen.
I could write a book, but I don't. Look here, boy, that would be real. I could totally write a book, but I got things to do. I don't see membership personally in the Bible, but what I do see is being, now God has placed each member in the body as he sees fit. And see, I don't need your pledging to the church to do that, because see, here's what I know. God did not ordain church hopping. People, they tell me all the time, well, I tried you out. Well, look here, I'm not on audition for you. I'll be here, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise till the day God calls me home, but I'm going to be preaching his word in between there. I'm going to keep this real. I got my fancy pants on today. We're going to keep it real. You heard of the big girl pants? I done put on the fancy pants, and that's a whole new ball game. We're going to keep this so real. Y'all ain't going to mistake anything I've got to talk about today. Go with me to Exodus chapter 33, verse 13. Now, when you hear me talk about stuff, that don't mean you need to get offended. That means you need to look at the Bible, and you need to look at it for yourself, because the truth of the matter is if you can find it in the Word, show it to me, and we'll change how we do stuff here. Exodus chapter 33, verse 13. Here's Moses. We kind of ended here last week. And he has had all sorts of trouble with the people that God used him to help and get them delivered from slavery. And let me tell you something. When you go to dealing with people, and nobody is exempt from that in this lifetime, you're going to be stressed. You're going to have those feelings. And feelings are just, get rid of them. Just say, hey, feelings, you're going to have to take a back seat, because I'm not going to sit here and make decisions off of you today. But he was having issues with the folks. How many of you know that folks are always pulling something? I am, you are, we all are. And here he is, and he's having a conversation with the Lord, and he's saying, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. We should all pray and we should all ask God, Lord, teach me your ways. Because see, the Word of God says that His ways, they're higher than our ways. Moses would not have asked this if he was not sincere. And I believe that God can teach you His ways. And you can live them out and be better for them. So Moses said, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways, God. Teach me. So I may know you. See, there's something about learning the ways of God that helps you get to know God. There's something about getting taught the Lord's ways, and you start living in His ways and in His promises and in His precepts, and you get to know God better. You need to get to know God as much as you can. How do you do that? You spend time with Him. You seek Him. You pray. You meditate. And you get into His Word. You get into His Word. How many of you men out there, you ever wish that your wife came with an instruction book? Because if she did, you'd have done read it, right? Here's the thing. God did come with an instruction book. He asks you, get into my word and begin to know me. Get into my word and begin to imitate me. Get into my word so that my word flows out of you in season and out of season. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. See, and continue to find favor. It's one thing to have the favor of God on your life for a season, but it's a whole other thing to have the favor of God on your life for a lifetime. And you can have that, but what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to say, Lord, your will be done, not mine, because there's going to be a day where you wake up and you don't feel like working God's program, and that's called your flesh. We all have that, and we have to crucify that flesh daily. And it's not easy, but it's right. But it's right. So that I may continue to find favor with you. God doesn't want you to just have favor for a season. He wants you to have favor for a lifetime. Yeah. For a lifetime. See, some of us are praying prayers, God, just get me through this. Look here, God don't want to just get you through it. God wants you to thrive through it. God wants to get you to that place where you stop praying, God, take me out of the problem, and you say, God, help me to work the problem. There's a difference. See, God ain't going to just sit there and deliver you out of every single problem, because see, then you wouldn't need Him. You wouldn't need your faith. Faith wouldn't grow. Nothing would happen. Your problems and the believers are made in the valley. They're made when they get on their knees because things ain't going right. Go with me now to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to look at we're just going to look at a lot of them verses. I ain't even going to tell you which ones. You're going to read them with me. Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're going to start at verse 11. He's still talking with Moses. Moses and God are having conversations. One of the holiest sounds is the turning of pages of His Word. Amen. And I'm glad and I'm proud to see so many with their Bible. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you. I'm going to tell you something. Righteous living is not too difficult for you. Whatever God is telling you to do, it is not too, key word, too difficult for you. It may be difficult, but it's not too difficult for you. Because God will never give you anything that you cannot do. He will press you We are hard-pressed on every side. We are crushed. We are a lot of things. But one thing that we are not is we are not helpless. We have a God, and if He called you to it, He's going to see you through it. He's going to see you past it. And what God has called you to do is not too difficult for you. Now, what God has called you to do, there is going to be some days it takes everything that you have to do them. There will be times where you feel like you are stretched so thin you don't think you can. And here's what I can tell you. In those moments where you don't think you can, you got more inside of you that God has built up that you're not even aware that you have. That is called growth. Don't be afraid to grow. Growing is uncomfortable. There's discomfort in growth, but growth is a necessity for the believer. You have to grow. You can't just stay there. If you just stay, you're not working your calling, because see, God called you to do. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. He didn't call you to be stagnant and stale. He called you to get up and do something for Him. Now you figure out what He called you to do. You figure out what that is. How do you do it? My sheep hear My voice, and a stranger they won't follow. Practice hearing the voice of God. Practice being in His presence till that's all that you want to do. Amen. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you. And the second thing that it is not beyond your reach. It is not beyond your reach. See, sometimes we're looking at things in the natural realm, and we got to stop doing that, because we don't serve a natural God. We serve a supernatural God, and He is not interested in your excuses of why you can't do what He called you to do. He's interested in obedience. Obedience. I know this is hard preaching. This is how believers grow. If you want to come in and sit and not be challenged, you can go somewhere else and do that. Praise God. But if you come here, I'm going to challenge you. Why? Because I love you. Because I want to see you in heaven, and I want to see you at your very fullest potential. See, the Word of God is not just for the pastor. The Word of God is for everybody. And I agree with Jelly Roll. God is for everybody. Jesus is for everybody. Amen. Probably not going to hear that in no other church in Logan County. Talking about Jelly Roll. Some of the older people that are out there wondering if I'm talking about donuts right now. No, I'm talking about a singer, and God's changing his life. Amen. Am I saying he's perfect? Nope. Hey, that's the beauty of it. Neither are none of us. Amen. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for or beyond your reach. It's not beyond your reach. Stop telling God, Lord, what you have for me, I can't get it. No, you can. No, you can do it. You can do it. Verse 12, it is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Verse 13, nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us as we may obey it. No, the Word is very near you. The Word is very near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart so you may obey it. His Word should be in your mouth, and it should be in your heart. It should be in your mouth, and it should be in your heart. Whatever God has called you to do, His Word concerning that matter, it should be in your mouth, and it should be in your heart, because that right there is going to keep you going forward. His Word. See, when you hit a place where you're not lining up with His Word, that Word, it's like a hook. It'll hook you and it'll let you know right here is where you got to get back to, because this right here is where you's wrong. Start right back there. A lot of people, they don't know where they went wrong in the road, and they're still trying to figure it out. Look here, it's not that difficult. Where did you stray off from His Word? Where did you stray? Now, I like to keep things personal and relatable. I am thinking literally right now how to say this politically correct. Very difficult. I had a guy that on a Friday he came, and we do a pop-up food pantry every Friday morning. And I love feeding people because it's where I know that that's the sweet spot of my anointing. I see all through His Word where He gathered people up. He fed them physically, and then He fed them spiritually. And see, that's what Jesus did all the time when He was here. He gathered people. He loved on them. He didn't sit there and call them all the things that they were. He just let them be, and He let the anointing show them what they needed to change. Well, we had a guy here. And, you know, leadership is a very weird role because part of you has got to hold the line and a part of you has got to see the line. And sometimes those things get difficult to do. And I had an older gentleman, and he was being rude to one of my volunteers. And I don't like rudeness. Do y'all like it? I mean, maybe y'all so much better than me. I don't know, but I don't like it. And he was getting ugly. And I walked right over there and I said, "Sir, you can't be ugly to this one. We ain't going to have that here." He asked me if I was stupid or just a retarded woman. I don't like the R word. I think it is very derogatory. I think it's terrible to say. And I took that, hear me, I took it personal. We're taking some things way too personal, and it's affecting our flow. You got a flow. It's called the Holy Spirit, and He wants you to walk. God wants you to walk in the flow of your anointing every day of your life. And because I took it personal, and I wanted to get in the flesh with Him, Jeff, well, I did. I said, "You're leaving here, and you're never coming back." And God let me sit with that for about 6 weeks, and I was very justified in that. If He does it again, that'll be a whole other thing. We'll have to see what God wants to do then. But I'm willing to do whatever. And God would show me that man's face in the middle of the night. Says, "Kelly, you asked me to send you the unlovable. You asked me to send you the rude. You asked me to send you the crude. You asked me to send you the people that no other pastor would want to mess with. You asked me to send you the drug addict. You asked me to send the homeless. You asked me." See, and Kelly, I've honored you in what you've asked me to do. It just wasn't packaged up how you wanted it to be. But Kelly, this is where the rubber is going to meet the road. See, you're going to pastor up right here in this place. See, God ain't going to call you to do the easy thing. God's going to call you to get so darn humble, you're going to sit there and ask God, "Is it okay to move one more step, God? What do you want me to do?" Well, I'm a slow learner. So he rolls up again one day on a Wednesday. And still, I'm still operating in the flesh. Why do I tell y'all this? So you can understand that nobody's exempt from natural things. Do I get in the flesh? Yes, I do. I do some other things, and I'm not going to tell you. We're going to keep that a mystery. He came on a Wednesday. I hate telling these things, but here we go. Came on a Wednesday. He rolled up. I was still not liking the retarded woman comment. I don't like men that don't think women can do things. I think that's awful. I don't know how they think they got here. Hello. Brother needs some anatomy classes. And I said, "Do you have anything to say?" He said, "Yeah, I want 2 boxes. My terrible self said, I ain't got nothing for you, and I just sent him on. Now, it wasn't good, but I felt good after that until I got along with the Lord. And then here I'm trying to go to sleep. And there that is sitting on my conscience like a big old fat elephant. Lord, what do you want me to do with him? Just tell me. Kelly, I want you to understand something. That person's older. You're probably the only pastor and the only church that he's going to even mess with. I'm asking you to go after his soul. That's why I sent him to you. That's why I sent him to you. So I said, all right. He who winneth souls is wise. Because that's not an easy thing to do. There's souls to be won, and they ain't the easy ones. They're the ones that you're going to have to roll up your sleeve, leave your pride at the door, and just say, come on now, let's go win them souls. So his friend came through. Well, his friend's a nice little guy. He said, Pastor Kelly, I'm so sorry. That's just the way he is. I said, I want you to tell him to get back in the lines, to get back at the pop-ups, that Parish Christian Center wants to bless him and that God wants to bless him. God wants to make sure that he's got enough to eat at night. See, I committed myself in the very beginning of the food ministry. God, I will never deny anybody any food. See, and God reminded me. See, if you're going to remind God of his word, God's going to remind you of the things that you promised him that you would do for his blessing. See, and that ain't always comfortable. What have you promised God that you would do? And have you kept your word? Have you kept your word? What'd you promise him? God, if you'll get me through this, I promise you I'm going to do this, this, and this. See, if there's some things sitting on your conscience right now, that's why you walk through the door. God wants you to fulfill your word because he is certainly fulfilling his word with your life. God reminded me of that, and I repented. See, the problem with being in the flesh is that pride will always come before a fall. You want to get on your high horse? Well, you stay there because the next thing that you know, you're going to be flat on your face and you're going to wonder how you got there. You're not going to be able to blame your mama, your daddy, nobody. You're going to have to blame yourself because it was your pride that got you there. See, I'm asking you to put down the worldly things and to take up your cross and follow him daily. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be right. There's some things that people right in this room, God is ringing your doorbell. You promised God that you were going to do some stuff, and you've gone back on your word. God is coming today. He is asking you right now to fulfill your word. Right now.
Amen.
I'm going to get a drink. And I'm going to go for round two on that because, see, we're going to stay there for a moment. This was not a part of the message, but here we go. I'm talking to that person right now. What did you promise him? What did you promise him? What did you promise the living God and you've not lived up to your word? What is it? What is it? See, I'm asking you what it is because, see, God's pricking your heart right now. Why does God prick the heart? To get you to change. To get you to change. I'm not coming here with a violin to sit here and play songs for you and get you saved for the 37th time. I'm asking you to just be a Christian and get it right. What'd you promise God that you'd do? When you called out to him, and you cried out and you said, God, help me. God, I need you. God, if you'll do this, God, this is what I'm going to do. God's asking that person right up in here, fulfill what you promised me. The funny thing about fulfilling what we promised is it's for our own good. Our own good. I promised God that I would feed people, and I promised God that I wouldn't turn people down. God asked me, Kelly, what part of the food ministry hasn't been blessed? God, every part of it's been blessed. Okay, Kelly, what part of it do you want me to take my hand of favor off? Which part do you think is going to go first? See, how much is your disobedience worth to you? Which part of your life would you like his hand to come off of first? Now, this is hard preaching. I get that. But you know what this is? This is challenging. This is challenging. You want somebody that loves you enough to challenge your little butt to get you to get it right. Because look here, you got stuff to do. You can't afford to stay on that couch in the depression no longer.
Amen.
You can't afford to stay there with that grudge that you've held for 20 years no longer.
Amen.
Your life is passing you by in all of that emotion. Verse 15, I quote this scripture all the time. See, I set before you today life and prosperity. God gives you a choice every day. God gives you the choice every day. I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God. To love God. Why did God feel the need to say, I command you to love me? Why did he feel the need to have that? Because you know what? Sometimes loving God ain't easy, because you're going to put yourself on the back burner. People are selfish and we're not used to doing that. And it means literally saying, God, your will be done. Forget about what I want. God, my way didn't work. Lord, help me. God, teach me your ways. God, help me to want what you want. God, help me to say what you'd say. Lord, help me to see what you'd see. See, when you see the drug addict, when you see the person, you know what? Here's what I want you to know. At one point or another, you were the person. You were the person. Maybe it looked different. Maybe your life choices were different. But see, we've all been somebody we didn't want to be. And he got us on another side of that. Please don't be self-righteous and think that you're so good. You guys are the best people I know, but you know what? I'm here to challenge you today. To do what? Be even better. Sometimes we forget what God delivered us out of. And we forget that these little people around here are his little sheep, and it's up to us to help them. It's up to us to say, hey, look here, let me take you under my wing and let me minister to you. True evangelism is not, let's go pull everybody out of other churches and let's get them going to ours. We're going to give them pizza after the service. I don't operate that way, and neither does God.
Amen.
Here is what I am certain of. There's enough unsaved people on the planet for believers to be believers.
Amen.
And to go spread the gospel, to invite people to come in. We're going to have a growth spurt. I'm going to tell you this, and you're going to hear it right from the horse's mouth. I'm going to ask you to start inviting people to church, and here's what I'm going to ask you to not do. You know, the number one reason why people don't come to church is because they were never invited. What does that tell you? It's a matter of you asking him. Number two, if you know that somebody goes to church already, do not. Y'all say do with me. Do not. Do not try to pluck somebody out of their church and try to get them to come up in here, because look here, that is not the gospel. God's got people that he's drawing to this place, and he's going to put them here, and he's going to plant them here, and they're going to be a part. See, be a Christian. Be a Christian person. Have integrity. Have it when nobody's looking. Amen. That's how you know you have it. I set before you today life and death, prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways. See, we just read about his ways, where Moses said, teach me your ways. And here it is. The Lord is saying, walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. See, when we keep what God has told us to do, then something happens. Then you will live and increase. I'm going to read that one more time. I want everybody to open up their understanding. Get a part of the meat of the word for the day. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then, see, this is something that doesn't happen until we've done the first part. The second part doesn't happen. Then you will live and increase. You will live and increase. Believers all over the planet, they're asking God, why has there not been an increase? Why has there not been a change? Why has there not been a healing? Why has there not been a this? And why has there not been a that? I'll refer you back to the word. Walk in his ways. Keep his commands. Keep his laws. Keep his morals. Keep those things. See, God didn't call you to be a loosey-goosey Christian. He called you to be tight with him. He called you to be tight with him, and he did not call you to sit there and straddle the fence. There is nothing worse than a fence straddler. Tanya, stand up, because I'm going to use you as an illustration. I want y'all to get the message today. Are y'all enjoying this? You wouldn't tell me if you weren't, but thank you. I'm going to tell you what integrity is. Integrity is being full of morals no matter who likes it, no matter who ain't with you, no matter who is going to not vote for you. Amen. That's called integrity, and it can't be bought. See, God's asking you to have something that you can't go buy at Walmart. He's asking you to have something that he wants to put inside of your soul and let it never leave. She was in a debate recently. See, I ain't voting for Tanya just because she goes to my church, because I have a bigger mind than that. I'm voting for her because she's full of integrity, and she wasn't just like that overnight. She's had it the entire time that I've known her. There was a question asked, do the Ten Commandments belong in the schools? Yes, they most certainly do. Look here, that when you say yes to a question like that, you're going to have people, Tanya, they won't vote for you because you believe in Christ. That's the votes that you can count out. You don't need those anyways.
Amen.
Not everybody said yes. And the people that say no, what they want to do is they want to get the votes that for the people that are living in filth and unsaved. See, are you full of integrity when you're going to get voted for? I want the person that's full of it, no matter what. That's what God wants. You can sit down. I asked my 10-year-old son, Colton, do the Ten Commandments. Where is he? Come here, baby. You better raise your kids right. Look here, Wednesday night, I could have just strangled Carson. Gosh. But look here, I'm up for the challenge. We're on the pink microphone. Coco, do the Ten Commandments belong in the school?
Lord, yes.
Why do they belong in the school?
Well, you have kids shooting other kids. You have furries. You have gay people. You have a lot of different things, really.
Does God love the homosexual? Does God love people like that?
Yes.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Does God have a standard for us?
Yes.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. See, yes, it is our job to teach our children right from wrong. But if you dare think that God doesn't belong in the school, that's your first problem right there. God belongs everywhere. God belongs everywhere. And when we kicked him out of there, the devil was able to come up in there. You don't want that. We need to get the devil out of every place where he's at in our life, in our family, in our schools, in our community.
Amen.
I'm going to get back to the word. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. Verse 17, but if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them. See, don't tell me that the Bible is irrelevant, because, see, the Bible is the most relevant thing on the planet. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. Too many believers fall into this category. Too many of them. Too many people. We're living on the fence. We're using God like he's a saloon door. God, I'm going to swing this way because I need you. And then, God, I'm going to swing right back in the world because then I don't need you. Look here. God is not a man that he should lie. He is not going to be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that out of that, that's what we're going to reap. If you're going to sow into the flesh, you're going to get reaping back into your flesh. It's important how we live. It's important how we live. In him we live. In him we move. And in him we have our being. If we think that we can do anything outside of Christ, that's where we need to work on. Because, see, we can't. Do we know that we're nothing without him? We're nothing without him. Go to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to look at verses 10 through 13. I believe that we're living in the end times, where the Bible tells us about certain things. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. What does that mean? Many people, many believers will turn away from God and they'll go back into the world. This is, many will turn away from the faith. Many will. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Now, folks, is this not what we're living in right now? Many will betray each other and hate each other. There's people that hate each other just for the simple political views. And that is garbage. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. What is this talking about? The believer. The love of the believer. See, how is it? See, I know people that were raised in church. I know people that were raised in this church, came to this church in their mother's womb, and have gone out into the world and denied Christ. Here's what people, here is what the honest to God truth is about salvation. God don't need you being mad at them. I've done it. God don't need you gossiping about them. I've done that too. Here is what God needs for every person that you're upset with, that you're concerned about. See, we get all self-righteous when really what we need to do is just get righteous. God needs your prayers, and he needs you to stand in the gap for them. He needs you to wake up in the middle of the night and declare the word of God come present in their life. He needs you to pray the prayers to get them convicted.
Amen.
But God don't need one more self-righteous believer. He's got enough of them. Isn't that right, Paul? I think you're the oldest person in the place. Am I preaching right? Amen. Acts chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 24 through 28. We're talking about your life today. We're talking about your salvation today. God asked you a question just a few minutes ago. Are there people in here? And you promised God, you promised him that you'd do some things differently next time. And here we are at next time. God's ringing your doorbell right now. God's asking you. He's doing a heart check. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. See, everything that you got is coming from the Lord. And the things that you've got that didn't come from God, look here. It won't take you long to figure out where they came from. God is not the author of confusion. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. This part is very important for you. This makes you know that you're here for a purpose. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. See, God loved you. He knew about you before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. He knew the generation and the time frame and the place to bring you about. You are not here by accident. You got to do what you were called to do, because if you don't, see, nobody's going to do it quite like you could. You're important, and somebody needs you at your best. And you say, well, God, right now I'm at my worst. Look here, you give that to God. He's going to take care of that problem. God will put you at your best. He'll put you at your best. Somebody told me a few years ago, well, you're in your prime right now. Things will start slowing down. I said, honey, me and you don't agree about that. I'm just getting started with the Lord. God is not, I have not reached the peak of what the Lord is going to do for me. Because see, all of the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. All of the days of my life, I'm going to be blessed going in. I'm going to be blessed going out. Not because I'm perfect, but I serve a perfect God, Billy. If I'll listen to his word, if I'll obey him, if I'll stop being a hothead when he tells me to not be one. See, that's how we get to where we're going.
Amen.
That's it. Now, I'm going to ask you guys to do something. Any time that you take communion, I'm going to teach you something. There's a certain way that you have to take communion. You need to take it with a clean heart. How do you do that? You examine your heart. I'm going to ask you if you are physically able. Some of you is not, and I understand that. But if God has made you physically able to get on your knees and to examine your life, I'm going to ask you to do that. This is where you get it right. This is where you forgive the people that hurt you. This is where you ask forgiveness.